This is an encore broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guests, Venus and William. From UFOs, a dispassionate examination, William has been a guest on the show many times. Venus, this is your first time out. But as we're going to discuss here, you guys have been going live two times a week. So I assume this is not nerve-wracking for you any longer, Venus.
Well, it's getting better every time I do it. So yeah. I'm getting used to it.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, so UFOs, a dispassionate examination is your twice-weekly broadcast that appears on your Facebook page, William, and it invites comments and questions, but, you know, what do you really talk about twice a week? You know, let's get the rundown of, like, what your focus is.
We approach a different issue, whether it's the lack of diversity in the UFO community, this idea that politics has anything to do with UFOs, or a particular case, or the abduction enigma, and we take a reasonable look at it, a logical look, and we really apply the fact that Venus is an experience and I'm not. So we bring both our points of view to meet the middle and go from there. So, and the listeners, their comments and questions, they really, we're lucky that our listeners have kind of really embraced the idea of looking at this stuff with a logical mind instead of just embracing everything. So we kind of go along those lines. And about halfway through the broadcast, it kind of meanders to other topics, and we just kind of go with it. So,
sure. You know,
believe me, we identify.
in true podcast style.
You know, has collaborating with Venus on this sort of changed your view at all? Because I know you've, in the past, not had an experience, been very much a paperwork, nuts and bolts kind of guy. Has collaborating with Venus on this really changed your view at all of how you come at the topic?
In a word, no. Having said that, I appreciate her point of view. It's opened my mind even more to issues I knew were prevalent in the community. There's an extreme shortage of women involved in the UFO field. There's no diversity. It's basically researchers are older white men over 50. And Venus being a woman, being a minority, being an experiencer, has that point of view that I really appreciate. So from that point of view, it's really opened my mind to what I think is the changes that need to be made in the community that might move it forward in a positive way. As far as the research itself, I'm still the same old skeptical guy. So
I see. And what about you, Venus? How has this sort of helped you understand your experiences and your attitude? Well, you know, let's clarify here first that this new show that you guys are doing is not your first foray into the UFO community. You had another group as well on Facebook that was an active group about UFO experiencers. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I started a group called Alien Experiencers, and it's a support group for people who have either been UFO witnesses or have had encounters, that kind of thing. And that's actually how I started talking to William with. I contacted him to see if he can help me kind of get my group out there and promote my group. Prior to that, I had other things that I had done. I had done a podcast before that a friend had me on that I was talking about my experiences. I was attending other group meetings, the UFO, One Way UFO Festival, going to that kind of stuff and helping out. So this is not the first time that I've been inside of the community doing things.
My assumption is that there would be one of two motivations, possibly both, I guess, for you to have started this group. And one would be that you felt that you came out okay and that you would like to help other people. And the other would be that you came out very confused and needed some help from other people. You know, what was your motivation behind starting the group?
It came out of frustration. I needed some kind of support for my experiences, because my experiences, there's no proof. So when there's no proof, there's no answers. And so really all that's left is getting support from other people. So I was looking on Facebook for support, and all I would find are, I would find a lot of support groups, but it was pretty much a joke to me. People were trolling on other people, making fun of their stories, judging them, and the admins were doing nothing about it. So out of my own frustration, I decided that I would do something about it, and I started my own group. So I can support people, so I can stop that kind of trolling on others, and I can offer real support to them, and in turn, that gives me support that I need as well. So that's where it came from.
Yeah, I noticed that when I joined the group, I can always tell when I join a group if they make me jump through hoops and then wait until I'm allowed in, that it's some sort of group that actually moderates what's yeah. going on.
Yeah,
yeah. Very common to...
It's not easy, yeah. but it's not meant to be easy. And yeah. I don't have thousands of people in the group, and that's on purpose because mm-hmm. I really vet the people coming in. And I've turned a lot of people down, but it's important to me that the people inside of the group feel safe. So that's the priority.
Right, right. Are we allowed to ask you what your experience was, Venus?
Yeah. And by the way, I also made a YouTube video about my experiences. So that is on our YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. Well,
it runs about 45 minutes or so.
Well, then this radio interview is over. I'll just go watch that. No, but really, I'm interested. What is it that happened to you that caused this interest?
I had encounters when I was a child that I didn't think, I didn't realize were encounters until later on, until I started talking to other people and kind of put it together. When I was a teenager, I saw a ship pretty up close. And after that, I had three different periods of missing time for 5 hours at a time. That happened the week after I witnessed that ship. And I have no idea what happened or where I was.
Interesting.
After that, I could see unidentified objects flying around in the sky on a pretty normal basis. It was kind of regular for me. But the only up-close object that I saw was when I was a teenager. Last year, in 2019, I actually had a physical encounter, which had been a long time since my last encounter. And so I've had several experiences over my lifetime, but there's long gaps in between them.
Yeah.
To go into detail, I don't know. That would be a whole show. I mean, I can go into detail about
that. Oh, no, we'll do that on another show. I definitely have questions already as it is. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel that you saw more things in the sky at that point because you were aware or scared, or do you believe that your experience that happened to you made you able to see those things in the sky? Does that make sense? Did I ask that right?
Yeah. I question myself on which one it is. Did I become more aware of what's going on and I just started looking around more?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it seemed like I would just look and they would be there. You know, I know some people say, well, they say the same thing, that after they've had an encounter, all of a sudden they could see unidentified object.
A lot of, like, stories I've heard from experiencers and stuff, it seems like it's like weirdly common to have multiple experiences throughout your lifetime. I wonder why do you think that is? Do you think they choose people or do we just have no idea?
From my perspective, I have no idea, but I'm still kind of looking into the fact, do they choose people?
Right.
I'm very open to that. I've done a poll in my experiencer site, you know, asking about blood type and that kind of thing, because I'm trying to get a feel for if we have things in common, which is why I think everybody's stories are so important, even though they don't have evidence, because if we can find a commonality, we might be able to pinpoint whether or not people have been chosen.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our Urgent Care Clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is an encore broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
You know, I wonder how much DNA test is. You know, I got the 23andMe ancestry thing, and I didn't really read into it enough to read if it, like, maps my human genome or if it just tells me who I'm related to. But I wonder, you know, it'd be interesting to have a nonprofit body or something that took UFO experiencers and actually took their information and mapped their genome so that we could see if there are any similarities between these people.
I mean, that's a logical idea. I mean, but there's there's many scientific avenues to pursue. They just haven't been done. And part of that is funding. Part of that is
Lot of money in UFOs.
Yeah, and scientists don't really want to approach the topic legitimately. So, but yeah, a lot of people with a good level of common sense who are not scientists are aware of certain things that could be done to explore, you know, possibilities, but they haven't been done at this point. So, a great idea. But will it happen? I don't know. I mean, the powers that be, the scientific community may not embrace that, but we'll see.
Right. What about you, William, with your nuts and bolts angle on this stuff? Do you find that UFO experiencers share any common traits, lifestyles, or anything like that?
No, the data doesn't support that at all. It's very random. You have people from all races, all creeds, all colors, political viewpoints. It runs the gamut. There doesn't seem to be any kind of common type of human being who's taken. It's very random. There's no pattern observed. But I say that cautiously because most UFO witnesses, whether you're talking abductions or not, don't report their sighting. So the data we have is, by definition, incomplete. So any conclusions we draw from that is skewed, to say the least. But the data we have seems to suggest there's no pattern at all. It's just random.
Yeah.
Which in and of itself is very interesting.
Well, to get into the thicket of ascribing anthropomorphic motives to extraterrestrials, a logical assumption from that seems to be, you know, maybe they're taking a random sample, you know, for reasons of their own. Maybe they're...
Scientifically, that would be more valid. Random. It would be an unbiased examination. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well, at the rate we're going with disease and war, you know, maybe it's like the what is that thing called, like the seed ark or something? You know,
the seed vault in Norway.
Yeah. Maybe they're trying to preserve us for when we wipe ourselves out.
I hope they get after it, because there's only 8 billion of us, so they better get to work. So.
You know, on your dispassionate examination show, do your topics tend to be what's in the news, or do you like to go back and sort of find something and sort of pick it out of history and address it?
A little of both. I mean, recent developments have kind of demanded we do more current event type programming, but in the course of the program, usually we refer back to historical events that are alleged to have happened to make a connection with what's happening now. So, you know, knowing the history of the phenomenon helps you kind of understand what's being reported now, and that applies to world history, any kind of history. But we really don't spend much time or too much time examining a past event. We try to relate it to modern events. People seem to want to take a look at the future or the current events more than the past. And I get that. So,
I get that too, but it must be frustrating, from an attitude of, we obviously don't know. So how does one look to the future to be constantly shoved towards an answer when there isn't necessarily an answer to be had in the future?
Yeah, it's I guess along those lines, I see the term UFO experts thrown around.
Right.
How can it be an expert in an enigma? No one has any answers. How can you be an expert? You can be an expert on data and the history of the phenomenon, but since there are no answers, I mean, it's kind of strange, but yeah, it can be frustrating. You'd like to look back and have some answers as to what actually happened. We don't have that. So it kind of is what it is.
it's funny. Our last guest we had on was a horror movie producer and actor. And I was joking in the thing that I'm a horror movie historian, and then I had to throw in that it's a degree that I made up because it doesn't actually exist. You know,
right.
I can't put that in italics under my name when I sign stuff because it just doesn't exist. You know, a UFO expert, you know, what if we, you know, if you're an expert in alien UFOs, what if we find out that this is just, you know, crazy moon Nazis, you know, what if, I mean, they're not aliens.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We have no answers, so
gotta watch out for the moon Nazis.
I guess by definition, an expert has definitive answers.
Right,
right.
If there are none in this enigma, and you can extend that to the paranormal, then the term expert really doesn't apply. Not really.
Yeah, this kind of relates to something I've been thinking recently, and I'd kind of like to get your take, because I feel like when I talk to people who, you know, are really knowledgeable about the UFO phenomenon, basically what I hear is that the government has to have, you know, some knowledge locked away that they're keeping secret. You know, they've got to have crash stuff or whatever. And it seems like every time there's news coming out, you know, the Pentagon says they're going to, you know, release information on this. Congress says, you know, you have to release information on that. The impression I get is that none of these agencies know anything. I mean, yeah. Are they really good at playing dumb, or it's really starting to look like they don't know any more than we do.
Yeah, I get you. Is playing dumb really an effective strategy?
They have more technology available to them to observe the skies. So they may have more data.
Yeah.
They may have some, physical evidence that we don't have at this point. But we don't know that. But the idea is that they do. That's very common. It's a very, the UFO community really embraces the idea that the government has retrieved crashed saucers, bodies of aliens in storage, this and the other. I'm cautious. They may have, but we don't know. And we're just civilians. So if they do have retrieved evidence at that level, by definition, it would be secret and not available for us to examine. So I think they have more evidence than we do as civilians, but I wouldn't go as far as them having a cache of alien technology. No, I wouldn't go that far. Not a large
amount. Right. Yeah, because I often see that, you know, sort of floated as like a truism, and I'm like, really, though? And yeah, so it's nice to hear that your take on it is similar to my own.
Yeah, it's just cautious. You know, I mean, we're civilians, since we're not working in those facilities. We're not military people with clearances. We don't know.
Yeah. And
so I'm cautiously optimistic that there is some technology out there they recovered, but not a voluminous amount. No, I think that's a little reasonable. Yeah.
What about you, Venus? You know, in your experience and with the people that you've communicated with about their experiences, this might be a weird question, but was there ever a human there? And anybody that you've ever talked to about their experience, I'm sure there's been a lot of experiences of people, and because I've seen Communion, I read Communion, I've read a couple of these things. I'm in no way an expert. But, you know, has there ever been a human there that you've heard of? Like when they woke up, they said, oh, I saw two crazy gray aliens and a guy in a business suit.
No, I've never heard that. Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, that's damn, I thought I was onto something.
So close, Chauncey.
Well, I mean, in Communion, you know, he was like dancing with crazy, you know, yeah. Things looking from Jim Henson. I don't know, but I think Whitley Strieber might be a little worse for wear from his
experience. Yeah. There are abduction accounts that describe interactions with humans along with aliens, but those are in the minority. But a lot of experiences do state that there are some in their experience that they testify about that they encounter UFO occupants and also beings that look like us, humans. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, in that sense, you know, I mean, I've heard people say that they were in groups with other people.
I see.
Right.
I mean, I've had not encounters that I remember, but I've had dreams of going aboard a craft and being with other humans. There are accounts of people being in a group together, but...
But those other people were like you.
Yes.
Yep.
We'll be right back. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
This is an encore broadcast of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland, right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guests, William and Venus, will go the other way around this time for fairness. From the UFOs, a dispassionate examination. This time out, we're going to be talking a little bit about SAPRO, the San Antonio Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization. Kara and I were talking about this a little bit during the break, and given our discussions, now I know this thing only started on, what, June 20th of this year?
Yep.
But given our discussions in the past, and William's connection to it, you know, sorry, we don't know you as well yet, Venus, but we're looking forward to getting to know you. Is this like an alternative to MUFON?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I knew it.
we're painfully aware that there are issues within MUFON and within the community that have not been addressed. Mm-hmm. And we address them in a straightforward manner. Venus is our president. She's a woman. MUFON is led by men. That needs to change. There's not been a woman at the head of a civilian organization since Cora Lorenzen in the late 80s with the original APRO. That's a long time.
Wow.
She's the only one I can think of. Beyond that, every NICAP and MUFON interact with directors than a man. So that lack of diversity, that different point of view, having an experiencer at the head of a group instead of someone who's just a researcher, I think that's important too. So all these issues, we decided to branch out on our own because of our disillusionment with what's happening and not happening within other groups.
So what are you guys hoping to – sorry, go ahead, Kara.
Well, I just want to stay on that for a second because talking about diversity, why is it that MUFON is so not diverse? You know, is it because they sort of drive out people who aren't sort of part of their group intentionally or unintentionally? Or, you know, is it that rich white men tend to, you know, have more time to get involved in UFO stuff? Or, you know, what is it?
They do have a lot of retired law enforcement, a lot of retired military, which tends to be males. Since they're retired, they have more time on their hands. There is an environment there that is not conducive to having women get involved. Whether that's a concerted effort or not, that's the way it is. And that's unfortunate. We want everyone involved, experienced or not, males, females. It runs the gamut. There should not be any group that should feel like they shouldn't feel uncomfortable getting involved in the UFO issue. So, but I don't think it's a concerted effort by MUFON or any other group. It's just, it's kind of the way it's always been.
Right. Yeah. Are they trying, you know, to address this, do you think, successfully or not? You know, have they been trying to change?
I don't know. With the recent issue with MUFON with their director, who remained unnamed, he was booted out for his own indiscretions. They named another man. He left. The position is vacated. That's an outstanding opportunity to name a female to head the group. They didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's not a change. You know, I mean, it's like other than the administration of Barack Obama, what do we have as presidents? White men. In fact, they've all been men. There's been no real definitive change at the top in our government. Same thing in UFO groups. There's been no real change. And waiting for it to happen, it hasn't happened yet. So MUFON's been around 50 years, and nothing's really changed. So, you know.
Yeah. Venus, what's your take on this?
Yeah, my take is very similar to William's. We've discussed it at length quite a bit, and we have the same points of view when it comes to that. And I think it's unfortunate. So that's why we decided to do it ourselves. You know? So now we're running our own and doing what we need to do that's why we're at. That's what lit a fire underneath us to do it. So yeah, we do have the same point of view on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other sounds like not necessarily premeditated, but it sounds like a serious case of good old boy mentality.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, agreed. Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, what will you guys be doing? I assume some things will be very similar and some things will be probably very similar but addressed from a different angle. But, you know, what is the focus and the plan of SAPRA?
Well, we're aware that a lot of witnesses have come forward to MUFON, reported their reports, have not gotten any contact back, which is it's unprofessional. I mean, you contact an organization, a business, a company, you expect them to call you back, to email you back. We've watched and noticed comments from other people that have been unsatisfied with their interactions with the group. So everybody who contacts us, we contact them about them back 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. A respectful interaction with witnesses, not declaring their cases invalid prior to investigation. And one of the most important parts to our organization is we're a nonprofit. We're not motivated by trying to increase membership, which MUFON clearly is. They're looking to increase membership dues, and we're not about that. All the services we offer are nonprofit. We're a self-funded organization. So, that motivation, the dreaded money issue is a non-issue with us. I think that's important because we're out here to find answers, not to make any kind of monetary gains. We're all about trying to do the research and interact with people. So that's, so basically every group we see, what they're falling short of as far as their efforts, we're trying to embrace that and correct it. And the issues are readily apparent in the community, so it's not hard to find them.
So, you know, in the past, there's been discussions about difficulty with data collection and how data collection minimizes experience versus how important it is to compare experience. Have you had a chance to put any thought into how you will collect data? And I don't necessarily mean what avenues that data will come in at, but in a way that you're able to get the unfiltered experience, but also be able to track some of the data.
So we have a sighting report form that we wrote up, and so that gives the initial basic sighting information for people to fill out and get back to us. Take about 5 minutes to fill it out. I actually wrote a more detailed questionnaire for people with their experiences. I have yet to make that form up. I hope to make it up in the next couple of days because I think it's important to collect that data as well. I think that form right now has 25 questions on it. It's more in depth, but that's how we're going to collect the data because, to be honest with you, I reported my experiences to MUFON, and they were more interested in the craft and less interested in my actual missing time experiences, my encounter, that kind of thing. That was dismissed, and that really upset me because I think that part is important, the experience that comes with it, not just the description of the craft or, you know, where you were or what happened, but, you know, everything as a whole is very important.
You know, that makes sense because, as we've discussed on the show here before, as Kara really put into my head, the concept was there, but Kara really solidified it with me that if you can travel from galaxy to galaxy or solar system, solar system, you can bend time. And basically these time bending, loss of time experiences seem like they would possibly be a part of the craft. And so these anecdotal experiences along the outside of the craft itself, even within the argument of MUFON just tracking crafts, seem like it would be important to understand the craft.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so. And one other thing we do differently is we share our data. Not talking about personal details, names of people and your address and what have you, but the actual scientific data itself, we're willing and able to share with whoever wants to examine it for their own scrutiny. Some groups, including MUFON, don't do that. That's been a consistent problem. You would think there would be a worldwide database of viewable sightings data, but there isn't. Groups don't talk to each other. They don't share data. It reminds me of the United States, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA. They don't communicate with each other. They don't share information. And that's what happens in the UFO community. So whatever data we have and collect, we're open to sharing it with everyone. And that's it. I think that's important, too, because other researchers need that information too, other experiences too. Thank you.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
This is the best of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Yeah, it's like it makes you wonder what the motivation behind not sharing data is. Only two ideas come to mind. One would be that they don't want that data misinterpreted and then putting out the wrong message, and then the other would be that that data equals money and therefore they don't want to share it.
I tend to go with the latter. Yeah. I'm okay with a group garnering membership and gathering, but I would want that money spent on research, witness support groups, scientific endeavors to find out what the heck is going on. Not television shows, mm-hmm. Not magazines. That's not research. Okay. I want bones, boots on the ground, science done to explain what the witnesses are seeing. Experience. Right. That's a good way to put that money into that. And other groups are not doing that. And that's, to me, that's very, very disturbing. That's a low.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, turning your UFO research group into basically a media company that's sharing information that nobody really knows. Again, it kind of takes us back to the expert discussion. Yeah. It's like, you know, what exactly are your shows about if you haven't invested the money to try to find some sort of answers. Now, granted, if someday they find an answer, sure, throw tons of money into getting that answer out. But, you know, in the meantime, turning your nonprofit into a media company does seem a little shady now that you say it out loud.
Yeah, and they MUFON consistently, and you know, and I guess we should preface this, that we're not anti-MUFON. But clearly there's issues there that have not been addressed, that should be addressed. It would be to the detriment of the UFO community if MUFON failed. But they certainly need to reorganize themselves and better themselves as an organization. They've been the only game in town since 1988. When Cor Lorenzen passed away, it's been MUFON, and that's it. So they've had a monopoly on this. And when a company has a monopoly, there's no competition to drive them to greater heights. There hasn't been for a while. So, yeah, that's kind of way it's been in this community for several decades, and that's not good enough.
Yeah. So SAPRO is very new. It's, you know, about a month out. Who is SAPRO right now? Is it you two? Is it, are there other people involved? Are you expanding?
We're doing SAPRO right now. You know, Venus is our president, and we are garnering membership. We're already got almost 1,800 members already.
Wow.
There's a
in a month,
in a month, June 20th. So it's growing.
That's awesome.
And a lot of interaction. We've watched other UFO groups on their websites, on and off Facebook, and to see people that are interested in the group, are they interacting? Are they leaving comments? Are they leaving questions? No, pretty quiet. But on our page, very active. So there's certainly a avenue there. People want to interact, and there is a group of individuals that are seeing these things that have not been addressed. They've not been interacted with. And whether that's MUFON having dropped the ball or not, that's not for us to say. But clearly we've tapped into a certain group of people that are hungry for this kind of stuff. So, you know.
And I think it helps that, for me being an experiencer, I think that really helps because we offer people, even when they fill out a sighting report, we offer them to point them in the direction of getting support if they need it, which would be from my site to get support that way. A lot of times with MUFON, you know, I mean, they'll tell you to come to their meetings, but where's the actual support? So I think that attracts people as well because people want to talk to other people. They want to know where to go. And so we can provide that for them. And again, we're not anti-MUFON. I was going to MUFON meetings for a while. I'm not anti-MUFON. I enjoyed a lot of meetings. I enjoy the interactions with the people there. But, you know, we have things that they fell short on. We want to make a difference and do the things that need to be done. So that's why we started our own organization.
Yeah, obviously there's, you know, we've talked to MUFON guys on the show before. There's some good people there. You know, they've done good work. They've collected a lot of good data. I think maybe another reason it's helpful to, you know, have an experiencer, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like there's sort of a strain of thought in some parts of the UFO community that basically holds craft sightings to be valid and experiences to be invalid. And so I think having you there, it seems like it might, you know, make people feel safer.
Yeah, they do. It seems like they do feel a little bit more comfortable. You know, they know that I'm not going to dismiss them because I've experienced things myself. So hopefully, and that's kind of more my role. Like, you know, he's the nuts and bolts and the researcher type. I know. He that's his side of it, but my side of it is the support system for other people who are doing the reporting. So we both have our roles within the organization, and it's been working out really well for us and for other people, hopefully. We've not had anything negative from anybody.
So San Antonio is in the name. I just want to clarify. Is this like, is it just San Antonio based? Is it?
I guess we started here, and as it develops and expands, we're open to expanding our base of operations. But as of right now, it's pretty much just the San Antonio area.
My question is, do people outside of San Antonio who have, like, experiences or sightings or whatever, can they get in touch with you, or are you pretty much focusing on the area now?
No, we're open to everybody. Yeah, we don't want to leave anyone behind. That's vitally important, you know. Regardless of what they've experienced, you can't leave anyone behind. They've experienced something traumatic, emotional in their life. You can't leave them behind. And we take their their experiences, their testimony seriously. I mean, I mentioned one time in our broadcast that, you know, some of our troops have come back from combat, suffering from PTSD, suffering from traumatic events. It wouldn't occur to any of us to make light of them, to ridicule them. That would never happen. Yet, when you talk about UFO experiences, that does happen. It's pretty, I mean, I've never experienced anything, and I'm embarrassed by it. I'm troubled by it. I can only imagine what an experiencer thinks. It's a ridiculous situation. So, no, we're open to everyone on the planet Earth, which is where we're at. And, you know,
yeah, we're open to everybody. Fun. And honestly, on as far as support on the experiencer site, I have people from all around the world that want to talk about their experiences. They're more than welcome to fill out their sighting reports on the site. I promote the site on there so people can do that. We spoke about, you know, we do focus a little bit on San Antonio, but we spoke about that if it expands outside of San Antonio, you know, we could open chapters in other areas if need be.
Yeah.
We're very
yeah.
open to that.
Yeah.
And we have people who are, like, ready and willing and already offering to help out in the different states that they're in. So we're very open to that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. All right, well, we're coming up on the end of the show here, and we have quite a bit to cover about where people can find out more about you. William Pullen's Facebook group is You For Real?
A Historical Review.
Historical Review. Venus, how do people find your Facebook group?
So they can find it under Alien Experiencers. That's the name of it. Are there links on your site for my...
I think there are, yeah.
You know, there. I know there are links on the SAFRO page also for my site.
Yeah. And then the two pages you can find us on, you can find us at William Pullen UFO Historian, which is our Facebook page, or the San Antonio Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization page, also on Facebook. And those are linked up with all our groups. So it's all one big network.
All right. All right, well, thank you for having, you know, coming on again. It's been a long time, William, considering our regular schedule.
It's crazy.
You've been too busy, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, we hope you'll come on again. We always love having you. And, Venus, it was nice to meet you and have you on as well. Yeah. And,
well,
you had nothing
you.
To be worried about. You're very well spoken.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again for everything.
Thank
you
so much, yeah.
All right. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland with Venus and William.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.